Is it possible for someone to be in a state where they cannot believe in Jesus? Can a soul become so hardened, so callous, that all hope is removed? And if such a state is possible, why should we talk about it or seek to understand it? Isn't it a bit too depressing to undertake the examination of such a subject? Well, if God had not spoken on this matter, it would really be out of order for us to speak about it. However, if He has said something about it, then it is our obligation to know what He said and to understand its meaning. After all, the only reason God reveals anything is in order that it might be understood. Furthermore, the reason it can be understood is because it is something essential to the obtaining of the blessing of God and our survival in this present evil world. The mighty God of heaven is not interested in bantering about philosophical notions with His creatures or indulging in pointless speculations and imaginations. Oh, I admit that judging from the conglomeration of stuff that's being spewed out into the religious community, this does not appear to be true. How is it possible that an all-wise God could say something that was not essential or explain something that was pointless? Such a notion is demeaning to the very idea of God Almighty. Furthermore, if what God says is really important, how is it possible for so many professing Christians to be ignorant of His Word, uncertain about what He says, and be satisfied with pulpiteering that does not major on declaring and expounding the Word of the Lord? But let me move on to the focus of this message. Is it possible for someone to be in a state where they cannot believe in Jesus? My text is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. It has to do with a poignant statement, the reason for its affirmation, and the divine commentary on the condition it declares. This statement is found, as I said, in John 12:39. Therefore, they could not believe. The King James Version, American Standard Version, New American Standard Version, Revised Standard Version, New Revised Standard Version, and New International Version also read, they could not believe. The English Standard Version, New Living Translation, and Amplified Bible reads, they could not believe. Some paraphrased and literal versions, including the Basic English Bible, the Christian Standard Bible, the New Jerusalem Bible, and Young's Literal Translation read, they were not able to believe. The Living Bible reads, they couldn't believe. These translations represent at least 44 other translations, so there's no doubt about what the text actually says. They could not believe. There is no infamous footnote on this text that directs us to older and more accurate manuscripts. Even the linguists of the world, who often banter about the technicalities of the text, all agree on this one. They could not believe. The context of this text refers to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Himself. Although He was approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders, yet the towns in which He did most of His mighty works believed not on Him. John 12:37. Those towns are identified as Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, and Jesus severely rebuked them for their obstinance, saying that on the day of judgment it would actually be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them. Matthew 11:20-24. In his commentary of this circumstance, namely that the people did not believe on Jesus, even though He did many great works among them, John said that this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. That explanation is found in John 12:38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That is, even though a true report was given, yet it was rejected. Rejected because the arm of the Lord had not been revealed to them. This is true, as Isaiah indicates, because believing is only possible when the arm of the Lord is revealed, or when God opens the eyes of the people concerning what He's doing in their midst. Now, it is possible that some people might say that this excuses the unbelief of people. After all, if believing depends on God revealing what He is doing, how can those to whom He has not revealed His working be blamed? If they could not believe because the arm of the Lord was not revealed, how can the people be judged for their unbelief? How is it possible for Sodom and Gomorrah to fare better on the day of judgment than people to whom the arm of the Lord was not revealed? First of all, let's establish that no man has a right to reply against God, question His judgment, or imagine that He's unjust. Those who dare to take up such reasoning and then express it deserve no hearing. In fact, their mouths must be stopped, as affirmed in Titus 1:11. We have no time whatsoever to listen to those who sit in judgment upon what the Lord has said. It is God who sits in judgment on what men have said, and not vice versa. In the text, not only does the Spirit say they could not believe, He also tells why they could not believe. The text continues, "Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." John 12:40. While it may be difficult for some to consider, God is categorically said to have blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. This text is taken from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, and Isaiah 29, 10. In them, the ministry of Isaiah was set forth in most solemn words. The sixth chapter contains the Lord's commission to Isaiah. "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." The 29th chapter confirms that it was God working through the words of Isaiah that blinded the people and put them to sleep spiritually. "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." Isaiah 29:10-11. The religious leaders of the day became spiritually dull and obtuse, so they could not understand the word of the Lord. That is, the book of the Lord became sealed so that its words could not be understood. The Lord goes on to say why this judgment was leveled upon the people, for God does nothing without a cause, as affirmed in Ezekiel 14:23. All of the tender of heart will at once perceive the relevancy of these words to our day. "Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." Isaiah 29:13-14. Jesus also quoted this text to the religious elite of his day. The passage is found in Matthew 15:7-9. Their religion had become one of mere routine, in which they spoke pointless words that did not match their hearts. They honored God with their lips, yet were living out their lives without due regard for Him. Their profession was hollow and empty, lacking any substance. When left to their own wills, they did not choose God. They did not turn to the Scriptures. They did not inquire of the prophets. And what was God's response to this lifeless form of religion, one in which they could go about sanctimonious rituals, all the while having minds that were nailed to the earth like Sisera's head? What does God do when people pretend to praise Him, yet maintain a fundamental love for the world and its ways? How does God react to those who have an appetite for what the world is offering, yet lack one for what He's bringing to them? What will the God of heaven do if His Son works all manner of miracles, signs, and wonders among the people, yet they still do not believe on Him? What will He do when He has sent His word and messengers to declare it, yet the people prefer the business world, the entertainment world, the athletic world, and the music world to His word? Will He be indifferent to it? How will He respond when the day on which He rose from the dead is seen as family day, outing day, fishing and hunting day, and the likes? Will He in love indulge the people while they live as though they were never going to die and be brought to stand before the judge of all the earth? Will He indulge their insolence and be patient with their obstinance? Oh, I know full well that some people believe He will, and that it is His nature to do so, but those people could not possibly be more wrong, and they should not be allowed to speak in the church. We do not have to guess about this. God has spoken about His response to those who profess but do not possess, about those whose religion is in their mouth but not in their heart. He will so blind them that they will not be able to see the truth. He will put them to sleep so there will be danger all about them, but they'll be totally unaware of it. He will make it impossible for them to be converted, and therefore He will not heal them. He will also take understanding away from their preachers and teachers, so all that is spouted from the pulpit will be a lot of nonsense disguised as something intellectual. He will make His word, the Bible, obscure to them, so they will not be able to understand it, and therefore will throw it on the bypath of life. They'll not be able to talk intelligently about Him, His purpose, and His great salvation. He will make it so they'll have to say they do not understand the Bible. That is what He said. "The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep. He has sealed your eyes, the prophets. He has covered your heads, the seers. For you this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say to him, Read this, please, He will answer, I can't, it's sealed. Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this, please, he will answer, I do not know how to read. The Lord says these people come near to him with their mouth and honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Their worship of me, he said, is made up only of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. That is Isaiah 29:10-14 from the New International Version. It sounds like a column from a modern newspaper. What person of honest and good heart has not experienced remarkable levels of spiritual ignorance within the professed church and marveled that it existed? Could this condition be a judgment from God, like it was in Israel? Could it be that we are facing a situation like Jesus faced in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum? Is there a possibility that some people have played games so long with God that they now cannot believe, that God will not let them believe? I'm in no position to say that this is the case, but I am saying that some thought must be given to this possibility. The level of ignorance concerning Christ, His accomplishments, and His present ministry is at an unacceptable level within the American church. There's too little faith, too little trust, and too little reliance upon the Lord. The expectation of glory is hardly distinguishable at all. Like it or not, there's a distinct possibility that many people within the professing church cannot believe. It is possible that God has poured out the spirit of deep sleep upon them and has dried up the wisdom of its leaders. It is possible that they have been lukewarm too long and Jesus is about to spew them out of his mouth. It is possible that they have crossed a line where it is no longer possible to renew them to repentance, as stated in Hebrews 6:6. And how are we to respond to such conditions? Make sure of this, we are not to set sail on the sea of religious speculation. If there is the slightest inclination toward Christ in you, it needs to be fanned into a great flame. If your heart has any tenderness at all, even the faintest desire to please the Lord and to be found in His favor, this is the time to nurture that desire until it becomes mature and stable. Declare war on anything and everything that neutralizes your quest for the Lord or diminishes your desire to be pure before Him. Sever associations with those who hold you back from seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Say farewell to them now, so Jesus will not have to banish you from Himself because of their influence upon you. If you imagine that you're beyond hope, thrust the very idea from yourself. For no one who considers himself to be beyond hope really is. That very thought confirms there's a little flame, a little hope, the remnants of faith. Feed it, nourish it. Ask the Lord to strengthen it. You have this promise concerning the attitude of Jesus concerning those who are weak and about to die. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Matthew 12:20. Let him have your weakened and deficient heart and will. Give it to him. Stay no longer at a distance from him. Come close to him, even if you're fearful to do so. If you can get to him like a weakened woman with the issue of blood, he'll make you whole again, even though you do not deserve it. Can a person get to the point where they can no longer believe? Yes, they can. But if a person has ears to hear and will use them, he will not come to that state. Now, hear the voice of the Lord Jesus as he calls out to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If that has any appeal to you at all, you've heard, and you can come. Come to him, listener. Come!